If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can ask somebody. We were just kind of like, wow, what a crazy week. Well, glad to see you guys. It is always good to be back. Sincerely, I was just thinking, it's just good to worship the Lord together. We didn't have an opportunity to fellowship anywhere last Sunday, and I sincerely missed it. And we coming back together and just worshiping the Lord together, just so good just to get together and worship God together. You can open up to Romans chapter 1. I'll read a verse before that. We're starting a new series this morning. I'm starting a new series this morning called Everyday Believer. Everyday Believer. And that's what we want to aim to be. Everyday believers. Right? Let me just start up by saying, I'm going to read a verse from Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to meditate on this. God's calling on your life is amazing. God has an amazing calling on each and every one of our lives. And just think about that. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, we know these classic verses, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Then it says this, verse 10, just meditate on this for a second. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. You are his handiwork, his workmanship. He crafted you. He put you together. And God uniquely designed you. And you might think, oh, I have this weakness about me, or I have that thing about me. God, you are his workmanship. That's amazing. We were, we were gathered together as a group of leaders yesterday, just right up here, actually. And we were talking about the fact that we've been created in the image of God, and that's what gives us our value. You've been created in the image of God. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing, the value that you have. You're unique from all other creation because you've been created in the image of God. In the image of God, he's placed his image on you. Years ago, I heard Dean Sherman gave this illustration where he pulled out a $20 bill. He's talking to youth. He said, who wants, and I don't have a $20 bill in my pocket, or I would right now, but he pulled it out and said, who wants this $20 bill? And the youth are kind of like, I do. You know, it's just like, is this a trick question? I would love $20 right now. You know, and then he took it and he crinkled it up. He said, okay, now who wants it? And these are like, I still do. I'll take that $20. And then he stepped down on the ground. Then he said, now who wants it? And they're like, I still do. You know, I still want the money. I want the money. And his point was, why? Because the value of that had nothing to do with what it went through. The value of that had to do with how it was made. It was created with value. Its image, the image of it. There was an image printed on it, and it designated its value. And you've been created in the image of God, the stamp of God on your life. How much value is that? That's amazing. It's amazing. We've been created in the image of God, and his calling on our life is amazing. It's amazing. But sometimes we think that the calling of God starts with, like, we think, oh, I know what it is. It starts with this extreme thing over here, or we think immediately that this must be what it means, world changer, apostle, whatever might be going through your mind, incredibly successful, right? And so we might think that right away, but it doesn't start with the grand. God's calling on our life is amazing, but it doesn't start with this grand thing. It starts with the everyday. That's what God's calling starts with, just the simple everyday. And there's a verse in Matthew 25, 23. It says, you have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. He who's been faithful with little will be given much, right? It starts with just every day being faithful to the God who's faithful to us. That's an everyday type of thing. Faithfulness is an everyday type of thing. And so God hasn't so much called us to the way the world defines success. The world might define success by what we have, money, possessions. It might define success by the job that we have, whatever. It might define success in any number of ways. But the Lord isn't calling us to some worldly standard of success, but simply, and let this sink in, God's calling us to faithfulness. Faithfulness. Being faithful to Him. Being faithful. Like I said before, faithfulness is an everyday sort of thing. And Christ is looking for people who take God at His word each and every day, and that are simply faithful. Simply faithful, honestly. And this calling on our life is huge, but it starts with faithfulness every day, spending time with the Lord. And then out of that, all of a sudden, it begins to impact our homes. It impacts these other relationships. It has this impact, but it starts with this faithfulness. And I hope you guys can see that. I hope you guys feel the value that God has placed on your life. That you wouldn't define your value based on some situation that you made happen or that you feel like you've conquered, but rather, hey, God, you've placed value on my life, and I want to simply be faithful to you. I want to start with that. And then all of a sudden, out of that, right, it impacts these relationships. It impacts the church. It impacts the world. And let me give you a couple examples. I'm thinking about when I think about faithfulness, I think about people who just each and every day, continuing to place their trust in the Lord as they wait for something. Maybe you're young and you're single. Maybe you're older and you're single. Waiting on God is an everyday sort of thing, isn't it? You're like, okay, God, I've been single now for a while, and I don't know where this is going, and I'm not sure what to do about this, and I'm really tempted to just compromise what your word says. All my friends are, you know, they seem to be having so much fun, and they're just kind of doing their own thing. It takes an everyday sort of faith to just keep our hope in the Lord. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're just you're single and you're waiting on God. That's a huge calling right there. Just to wait, continue to wait on the Lord, and to make the most of the opportunity this season of life. Maybe you are you're parenting, or you're at work, and you're not sure how this is going, or you're in a marriage. All of this is about faithfulness to the Lord. There's no shortcuts. Husbands and wives, faithful to the Lord and each other. There's an everyday believer sort of thing, trusting the Lord, looking to the Lord every day. So I said that God's calling on our lives is huge. It is. It's amazing. It doesn't start there. But every day, each and every day is a part of what God wants to do. I think of what Paul said. He said, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil, redeeming the times. So every day is a part of that. Make the most of these opportunities. And I'm going to encourage all of us as we begin this series, that I think it should be our aim to be everyday sort of believers, wanting to be faithful, wanting to be faithful in little, so that the Lord can say, you've been faithful with little, here's much, whatever much looks like, or here's more, or here's, you've been faithful with this responsibility. All right, well done, son, well done, daughter. Continue to grow in that. But we shouldn't get away from the everyday sort of thing. So my hope, my goal, and my prayer as we go through this series and we look at some pretty practical things in the weeks to come is that we would make it our aim just to be that everyday believer, every day with the Lord, every day obeying the Lord, having a sense of, okay, I'm not just a believer on Sunday. I'm not just a believer, you know, when I'm gathered in my small group, but I'm living and responding as a believer each and every day. So Romans, you guys might already be there. Romans chapter 1, if you're not there and you're looking for it, it's on page 939 in the Bible provided. So Romans chapter 1. And I think that this is just an introductory message this week. We'll get into some practical things in the weeks to come, but this is an introductory message. And I think that Romans 1, 1 through 5 gives us this great foundation, and it kind of shows us what being an everyday believer is all about. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at a number of things, four things from this passage here. And what does it mean? What's it look like to be an everyday? What is being an everyday believer all about? What is it about? So I'm going to read 1 through 5. Romans 1, 1 through 5. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who has descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. I love that. It's one of my favorite passages. It's a go-to passage for me, specifically verse 5, where it talks about to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. Love that. I mean, as I was reading this, in fact, this this series kind of came as I was just reading and meditating on Romans 1. I read this verse. I'm like, wow, God, your aim, God, through the gospel, is to bring about this obedience of faith for the sake of your name among all the nations, no less here in West Bend. That God's aim is to bring about, through his gospel, God's aim is to bring about obedience that comes from faith for the sake of his name, for the sake of Jesus' name. And that should be the aim. There's like this, there's a purpose to the gospel. There's a purpose to Paul's preaching. It's like he wants to see Jesus glorified through just obedience, everyday obedience that's coming from faith, empowered by the gospel. So he starts out, just like I said, he kind of starts out with the gospel. Paul set apart for the gospel. Then he talks about this, and he's kind of giving priority to faith when he talks about obedience that comes from faith. And then he talks about obedience, right? And for the sake of his name. So that's kind of the order that he goes in. Gospel, here's the foundation, gospel. On top of that is faith. On top of that is obedience. And it ultimately, the end result is that Jesus is glorified. That's the result. And that's how Paul starts with. He starts with the means, the gospel, and works his way to the purpose, Jesus being glorified. The gospel is the means that allow us to glorify Jesus. But I want to work backwards this morning. I want to kind of, we're looking at this house, and I want to kind of deconstruct it, so to speak. We want to look at the ultimate purpose, start there, work our way back down to the means, the foundation of how this is going to happen. And the purpose of that is to talk about what being an everyday believer is all about. So start with the purpose, work our way down to the foundation, talking about what being an everyday believer is all about. Here's the first thing. Being an everyday believer is about Jesus' glory. It's about Jesus' glory. It's about God's glory through Jesus. Our lives are for the glory of God. Our lives, we it's good for us to meditate on that. Sometimes we get distracted by this thing, that thing. We're thinking this. We go here. Relax, right? Calm down. Think about this level-headedly. Our lives are for the purpose of the glory of Jesus, glorifying Jesus. Everything in all of creation is about Jesus being glorified. And being an everyday believer is about that. Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life today. I want you to be glorified in my life today. And then the next day comes. Lord, I want you to be glorified in my life today. Years ago, I was driving around Waukesha through all the crazy one-way streets, not exactly sure where I was going, getting lost, you know. And this was before I was married, and I ended up camping out at a coffee shop, because that's what I did before I was married. I just kind of camped out at the coffee shop, and I was journaling and writing. And I remember I was just like, Lord, I just wrote this little, my heart to God. I was like, Lord, with this breath, I choose to praise you, but help me with my next breath, right? Being an everyday believer sort of thing is that right there. God, I choose to live for your glory, but help me with tomorrow. Lord, today I glorify you. And whether that's in singleness or parenting or figuring out finances, working through marriage stuff, what should our aim be in all of that? It should be that Jesus is glorified. When I'm thinking about my finances, there should be this overarching theme to it. Jesus, would you be glorified in my finances? When I'm thinking about having that that argument with my spouse, there's this overarching thing. God, would you be glorified in the way that I respond right now? Would you be glorified in that? When you're thinking about, maybe you're single, you're thinking about your singleness. God, would you be glorified in this season? Would you be glorified in my singleness, in my work, in whatever it is, that God would be glorified? The best passage for this, I think, is Colossians 1. I'm going to turn there. I did not put any verses up there for us. So if you want to turn there, you can. This is Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to quickly turn there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And this is Colossians 1:15. The title of the section says it all. It says, the preeminence of Christ, that Christ is before everything. Here's what it says. Verse 15, I'll read a few verses. He's the image of the invisible God. What a great picture right there. Jesus is the image of the God that we can't see. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. By who? By Jesus. That's what it's saying. For by Jesus all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things were created through him. And here's this phrase, and for him. Everything that exists, everything. We look around. The creation, it all exists for the glory of Jesus. How much more people who can live and move and breathe and talk and communicate and interact with each other. We've been created. You've been created for Jesus' glory. You've been created for his glory. My life is for his glory. My life is for his glory. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. Repeat that after me. Say, my life. Man, that was actually better than I thought it was going to be, but very good. It's for his glory. Yeah, it is. My life is for his glory. And we live in an identity crisis society. Everyone's like, I don't know who I am. I don't know. What is this? Am I who I am on Instagram? Am I who people think I am on Facebook? Do I need to boost that up a little bit? Who am I? Who am I if I don't have a lot of likes? Who am I if I'm not in a relationship? Who am I? And we think about that a lot, don't we? Who am I? Well, maybe, here's a suggestion, maybe we spend way too much time trying to discover who we are instead of meditating on who we're not. We're not God Almighty. We're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. All of life is about him. I love this little this passage Francis Chan wrote, Crazy Love. And he's making this point that that this world is about the Lord. Life is about the Lord. Our living is about the Lord. And he says this, suppose you are an extra in an upcoming movie. So picture that. I like thinking about that. We've actually had some people who've come to Ben City who are extras in movies, so I can even picture this. Suppose you are an extra in an upcoming movie. You will probably scrutinize that one scene where hundreds of people are milling around, just waiting for that 2/5 of a second when you can see the back of your head. I think that's me. That's me right there, right? And so just think about that. Maybe your mom and your closest friend get excited about that 2/5 of a second with you. Maybe. But no one else will realize it's you. Even if you tell them, they won't care, right? Here I am. I'm in the movie. Now let's take it one step further. What if you rent out the theater on opening night and invite all your friends and family to come to see the movie about you? He says right here, Francis Chan says, people will say you're an idiot. How could you think this movie is about you? It's not about us, right? It's not about us. It's about the Lord. This whole life is about the Lord. And yet he chooses to use us, and he places his stamp of his image on us. And God creates us with value, but we don't find our value in the world. We find our value in who God is, in whose image we've been created in. So maybe we need to spend less time thinking about what about this? What about that? Where's my value come from? And spend more time thinking about who we're not. We're not God, but we've been created in your image, God, and my value comes from you. That would do us well. Many of us, including me, there's plenty of times where I just frankly need to get over myself, That's just the reality. I think too highly of myself when I'm arguing or when I'm irritated, and I think that my problem is worth more than treating somebody else well, right? And so I need to get over myself, and I know that I'm not alone in that. We as people are just so prone to that. So, and then we need to see God for who he is. Colossians 1:15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So ultimately, being an everyday believer is about Jesus. It's about Jesus, and it's about the Father's glory. It's about Jesus and the Father's glory. So, okay, so let's take this to the next point. How in the world does that happen? My life is about the glory of God, okay? When I'm going through everything, the decisions of life, Jesus, how can you be glorified? My life is about that. How does that happen? I'm thinking of a passage here, John chapter 15. If you want to, you can turn there. It's page 902. The bottom of 901, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified. Here it is. Here it is. How is Jesus and the Father glorified? How is the Father glorified? That you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We could say it this way. Being an everyday believer is about obedience. I get that. The reason I'm saying this, I'm not just getting that from John, from John 15. I'm getting that from our passage, right? Because it says, we're working our way backwards, remember. If I can find it again. Here, we'll get there. It says he's wanting to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. So it's about his glory, but that happens through the obedience of faith. We'll get to the faith part in a second, but obedience. Being an everyday believer is about obedience. It is about obedience in the everyday stuff of life. Whatever it is that you're going through. Sometimes we have this problem with, we idolize, we scrutinize our lives, and we say, these things are spiritual, these things are mundane. Going to church is, that's where I'm spiritual. How I treat my family, that's just normal. That's just mundane. Well, no. Being an everyday believer means every day we're thinking about Jesus being glorified, not just at church. Coming together as people of God is important, but also obeying in the everyday stuff of life. Just whatever it is that you're doing, whatever at your work, home, relationships with neighbors, just everyday stuff that you do, sports, right? We take our kids here and there to sports. The everyday stuff of life, obedience. Being an everyday believer is about that. Obeying in the everyday stuff of life. Here's a crazy statement we don't talk about it enough. God expects obedience. He does. He expects obedience. Sometimes in churches, probably, to be honest with you, I think probably the pendulum swings both ways in this. But sometimes, maybe in more evangelical churches where we believe rightly that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, you know, so sometimes in that culture, we shy away from talking about obedience. We don't talk about it as much. And if we do, we kind of talk about it as like the dorky cousin at the family reunion. We know we're related to them, but we don't really want to talk to them. We don't want to get into a conversation because we don't know where this thing is going. And we especially, okay, I go to school with them, but I don't want people to know that. I don't want to be associated in some way. And so we do that sometimes with obedience. We talk about faith. So saved by grace through faith, but we kind of shy away from, I don't know if we want to talk, I don't know if we want to go there, because if we go there, there's a real danger that we can, mislead people, and that's true. We'll talk about that in a second. But God expects obedience, expects it. Here's a great passage for the fact that Jesus expects obedience. I'm looking at the Great Commission. Last thing Jesus said before he ascended to his Father, that's in Matthew 28. Again, I'll read it for you, but if you want to turn there, Matthew 28. Verse 19, 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So there's a commission, make disciples. This, what's happening right now, this is a part of that. This is not the fullness of that, but this is a part of that. We're going to the Word of God. We're wanting to be His disciples. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here it is, teaching them to observe. That word observe can also be translated obey. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. So what type of disciples is Jesus looking for? Ones that learn to obey. I mean, it's just that simple. Obedience isn't the dorky cousin. God is looking for obedience from all of us, that we would learn to obey, that we would learn to obey. So what exactly is obedience? What is obedience? Well, it's not complicated. If you're a parent, you know it when your children are being obedient. Maybe they get a little confused, you know, when they're not being obedient. Sometimes we can justify ourselves before the Lord when we're not being obedient, but it's simple. Being obedient really is just submitting to the Lord. It's this heart attitude that Jesus can tell me to do whatever he wants to tell me to do. Jesus can tell me to do that. And I get that Jesus, this is a good thing for us to just consider. So just think about this in your heart. I get that Jesus doesn't tell everyone to give away all their money, but he did tell it to at least one person in the New Testament. So I know he can tell people that. But what would you say if you felt like the Lord was telling you to give away your resources? You wouldn't tell me that, would you, Lord? You wouldn't actually say that to me. I mean, that was just for that one guy in the New Testament who was putting his trust in his money. Okay, you might have incriminated yourself, right? What would you say if you felt convicted by the Lord? Lord, you're telling me, you can tell me anything, Lord, but don't touch my money, right? Don't touch that. No, a heart of obedience is one that says, Jesus, you can tell me to do anything. What if Jesus was to say, what if he was to ask you, what if you felt the conviction that you were supposed to be single? And Jesus even mentioned this. Some are single for the kingdom of God. Paul even encourages it in 1 Corinthians 7. So what if you felt that conviction? Oh, no, Lord. Oh, no. Anything else but that, right? No, Jesus can tell me to do anything he wants to. And those are some subjective things. How about objective things? What if he asked you to serve your spouse? Well, he did, right? Can Jesus tell you each and every day, serve your spouse? Die to yourself. Well, he does tell us that. What if he asked you to give generously? He does. He does tell us that. That's in his word. Right, that's not a subjective thing. That's an objective in the Bible sort of thing. What about watching your tongue? Jesus, you can tell me to do anything. It starts in the heart. Jesus, you are Lord. And being an everyday believer is about obeying Jesus in the everyday things. Everyday things. Okay, but here is the thing that we have to be careful for. Because when we are talking about obedience, we really do have to be careful. Because I could actually preach an entire message about obedience and it not be a Christian message. I could talk to you guys about obeying the Ten Commandments, about making sure that you're obeying all this stuff, doing all this stuff, and it would fall short of being a Christian message. So what type of obedience is he looking for? He's looking for obedience, but what kind of obedience? It says it in Romans. It says it. Romans 1:5. See if you can find it in there. You don't have to shout it out. You don't have to say it, but just look through that one verse, Romans 1:5. See if you can see it for yourself. What kind of obedience? Obedience of faith, or obedience that comes from faith. He's not looking for self-righteous obedience, the kind that we say, I did it, I'm all that, I've earned it. He's looking for the kind where we say, no, it's a response of my heart to the faith that I have in God. Obedience that comes from faith. So here it is. Let me recap. Being an everyday believer is about Jesus' glory. He's glorified when we obey, but not when we self-righteously obey. When we when our obedience is coming from this place of faith, coming from this place of faith. So being an everyday believer is about faith. It's about connecting what we do with what we believe. And it's about bringing our thoughts and our actions in line with who we are in Christ. So who are we? I started out at the beginning. We've been created in the image of God. God loves us. He gave himself for us. We're a child of the King. We're having this daddy-daughter dance. I love the theme, Daughters of the King. I think that's beautiful. Each and every one of us in here, if you placed your trust in the Lord, you are a child of the King. And we want to bring our actions in line with that faith right there, with what we believe. And this is so important because our actions flow from what we believe oftentimes. That's what happens. Our actions flow from what we believe. And sometimes we try to fight the fruit. Oh, I see some weeds growing up. I'm going to just pull all the weeds and I'm going to fight the fruit of it, and instead of fighting the root itself. And the root is oftentimes lies in our unbelief. And if we'd fight the root of unbelief, and if we give ourselves the habits that encourage faith, we'd be further along. There's a danger of relying on do's and don'ts. And so being an everyday believer means guarding what we're putting our hope in or our faith in. We're guarding that. And we're reminding ourselves, being an everyday believer is about reminding ourselves that it's God who satisfies. God, you satisfy. I'm so tempted to look to the things of this world to satisfy me. I'm so tempted to think that it's about a relationship in high school. I'm so tempted to think that if I just have this, that new car, it'll satisfy me. Or driver's license, or new job, or anything else, more money at work. And that's an everyday sort of battle, because that's a faith battle. We're tempted to look to something else to satisfy us. And here's a go-to verse, Jeremiah 2:13. I'll just read it. Don't have to turn there. For my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me. Here's the first thing. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. God's the one who satisfies. The fountain of living waters. And they've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I know what I need. I know where my hope will be if I have this new shiny thing, broken cistern that can hold no water. If just this happens over here, if it any broken cistern that can hold no water. And so we look to God, and every day is a battle of faith. We're placing our faith in the Lord. And here's the last point. Being an everyday believer means hoping in God. And what is our greatest hope? The gospel. Right? I said we're working backwards. Paul starts with the gospel. He was called to be an apostle of the gospel, right? He was called to share the gospel, set apart for the gospel, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name. And we work backwards. We're saying this life is about Jesus being glorified. And that happens through obedience of faith. And the greatest thing that we have, the greatest hope that we have is the gospel. So let's just take a look at that. Being an everyday believer is about the gospel. Look back in Romans chapter 1. Because I said it at the beginning that here's the means. Paul starts with the means, the gospel, and he works his way up to the purpose, Jesus being glorified. And so now we've worked our way down to the means. The means is the gospel. Here's the means that Paul is referring to. The gospel. Romans 1, we're going to skip down to verse 16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of the people think it's foolish. People think it's, they think it's too simple. They think that there must be more to it than that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God for salvation. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the means. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus glorified through our obedience that comes from faith in the gospel. That's what it is. We're placing our faith in the gospel, and that is a transforming power there. He's transforming us as we place our faith, and there's this obedience that should be coming from that. And sadly, we oftentimes think of the gospel as that message for an unbeliever to get them into the kingdom of God. It is that, but so much more. It's not just about sharing the gospel so that somebody may believe the gospel. That's true, but it's so much more than that. Yesterday, again, as we were gathered as a group of leaders, we were just talking about the gospel. We were talking about the fact that that when God talks about saving us, he talks about it in three ways. That you have been saved, right? And so sometimes when we give our testimony, if you're like me, somebody asks for your testimony, we tend to do this thing. Well, I was saved at such and such an age because so-and-so shared the gospel with me. And that's good. That's kind of like the moment that you became righteous before the Lord. You were justified, the biblical term. You were justified in that moment that you placed your faith in Jesus. You were justified. You were saved in that moment. But the Bible also talks about the fact that we're being saved. We're being saved. What does that mean? It means that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation in these things. And I struggle on a daily basis with certain things. And we're just, even as leaders, we're just saying, what are some things that God is saving us from now? What are some things? The Bible uses also the word sanctification. He's changing us. So we're being saved, and the gospel is the power of God for that saving. When we're thinking, oh God, I need to be changed, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And so we just reminded each other of the gospel yesterday that when we give our testimony, we don't just have to share the moment that we were saved. We can also talk about things that God is transforming us in, that God is saving us from, areas that he's sanctifying us, biblical term, in. And we can remind ourselves of the gospel, that we are now a child because of the gospel. We're a child of the King. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from death because of the gospel, so that we have power to walk in newness of life. So, and the gospel is this: I was a sinner, deserving hell, but Christ loved me, came for me, lived perfectly before his Father, gave himself up for me, took my sin, and I get his righteousness. And I'm a child of God. And what we're saying is that being an everyday believer is about reminding myself every day of the gospel. Reminding myself of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came for me, that I'm a new creation in him, that he's still, I was saved, I was justified, I'm being saved, I'm being sanctified, and someday I'm going to stand before him and I'm not going to struggle with anything. That's called, the Bible says, you will be saved, right? Or we're going to be glorified, another biblical term is. We're going to stand before the Lord, and the things that we struggle with now, we're not going to struggle with anymore. It's going to be done in a moment's notice. Bam, done. I don't struggle with anything anymore, right? That's not our experience now. Right now, we've been saved, justified, and we're being saved. We're being sanctified. And someday, we're going to stand before him perfect. So we need to remind ourselves of the gospel each and every day. Being an everyday believer is about Jesus being glorified. So I'm just summarizing now. It's about Jesus being glorified through our obedience that comes from faith in the gospel. That's what it is. And here's where we're going over these next few weeks. I want to talk about cultivating habits that feed our hope in God. Word, prayer, worship. We want to just look at that. And then we want to spend some time talking about being an everyday believer at home. Whether it's singleness or marriage or parenting, we want to look at that. Or even our finances, we want to look at what does it look like to be an everyday believer in these areas. And then we want to talk about Being an everyday believer just in community with one another. Being an everyday believer, and last of all, being an everyday believer in the world. In the world. So that's where we're going. And I hope that even now you were challenged, encouraged. God's calling on your life is huge. He loves you. He's created you in His image. And yet it doesn't start with this grand thing. It starts with simply being an everyday believer. Each and every day coming before the Lord, being faithful in the little things. Let's pray.